Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 36 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head out to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also leave a review if you're feeling like it too. Find us on audioboom.com as well. You can go to normantranscript.com to follow my Thunder coverage too. And remember, I'm on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings. That's only for the next week or two right now. It's September already. Wow. And actually, the season starts in less than 3 weeks. That is crazy. Can you believe that? Training camp, media day, September 26th. It's unreal how quickly it goes. But in a week or two, I'm going to be back on daily like I was earlier in the summer because of that. Monday through Fridays, every weekday, there for your morning commute. Right there on your phone, wherever you get podcasts. We're going to do a mailbag today. All questions, no monologue. A lot of good questions came in, actually. A bunch of really good ones. I wasn't able to get to all of them, unfortunately. But we're going to go through about five or six of them. Why Russell Westbrook's presence doesn't guarantee the Thunder an elite offense. Favorite players. Oklahoma versus New York cuisine. More stuff. A lot of good questions coming in. First one, this is from Mikey Berra on Twitter. It's a really good one. He asked me a really extended question on Twitter, Mikey did. And I thought this deserved an expanded answer, so I'm throwing it on the podcast. Here's the question. For the premise for the question, I went on Nate Duncan's podcast, Dunked On, to do a Thunder preview last week. You can find that on iTunes or wherever else. If you listen to Nate's, if you're into NBA podcasting, you should be listening to Nate's podcast, Dunked On, D-U-N-K, apostrophe D. I'm still going to give him crap about the spelling, the apostrophe D. The last time, I'll tell you what, he could take his apostrophe and he can lend it to the movie 2 weeks' notice. And then we can have the proper amount of apostrophes in both those things. And there's a grammar joke to lead off the podcast. That's a fun one. Anyway, from Mikey Berra. You said in the podcast with Nate Duncan that OKC's offense will likely be below 15 in the league. That means about a 104 offensive rating. But if you isolate the possessions Russ had last season without Durant or Ibaka on the court, this projects as a 109 offensive rating per NBA Wowie. A very good site. It's a very good site, by the way. He'll play 75% of the time and obtain a 104 rating. Per NBA Wowie. He'll play 75% of the time, and to obtain a 104 rating, OKC needs to go less than 90 in the remaining time, so during that 25% time. I know those minutes aren't against starting lineups, but the 2014-15 numbers tell the same story. What are your thoughts? So I thought this was a good answer. It's very inside baseball, so I'm going to explain some of the stuff that I just read before I actually give an answer. So offensive rating is... it's billed as an advanced stat, but it's not an advanced stat because the math behind it is no more complicated than the math behind batting average. Just like batting average is a rate, offensive rating is a rate. That's it. Rating is not, it's not a random number on how good it is. It's not like, you know, OPI. It's not like a normalized stat where it rates how good you are based on the rest of the league. All it is points per 100 possessions. So if you've got a 104 offensive rating, then you've got, you're averaging 104 points per 100 possessions. That's it. It's that simple. There's nothing adjusted. That's all it is. So when you see the Thunder had an offensive rating of like 109 point something last year, that means they averaged 109 point something points per 100 possessions. It's that simple. Basically, a 109 offensive rating is really good. The Thunder were a little bit over that last year. I believe they were 109.8 or something in that realm. That was the second best offensive rating in the league behind, predictably, the Warriors, who had the highest one since the merger, which was some some outrageous number. And it was actually the highest one non-Golden, of all the teams that aren't the Golden State Warriors, it was actually the highest one in the NBA over the last 3 or 4 years. It was a really, really, really effective and efficient offense. And that maintained with Russell Westbrook off the floor. With only Russell Westbrook on the floor, with Kevin Durant off the floor, with Ibaka off the floor. As Mikey wrote in, they were at about 109. Now, I said I think the Thunder are going to come in at a below-average offense this year. I don't think they're going to be insanely below average. Middle of the pack is somewhere usually in about the 103 points per 100 possessions range. Somewhere in there. And that seems about right for me. Now that would be a huge dip. That's predicting a massive dip from one of the most efficient offenses we've seen over the last 5 years in the league to middle of the pack. That's what happens when you lose Kevin Durant. Now, Mikey's theory seems to be that with Russell Westbrook on the floor, he's a one-man offense. And his offense, he provides such good offense that you're going to have an efficient offense right away. Now, I have to admit, he makes a really good point. I think it's a really good point, because if you've got a 109 offensive rating for 75% of the time, you basically have to have the absolute worst offense in the league by far, like historically horrific, in order to fall below that, you know, 15th-ish ranking out of the 30 teams in the NBA. You need to be by far the worst team in the league offensively with Russell Westbrook off the court. Now, I think the Thunder will be one of the worst offensive teams in the league with Russell Westbrook off the court. I think they're going to struggle a lot with Russell Westbrook off the court, offensively. I also think that those numbers... Now, Russell Westbrook, if you remember when Durant and Ibaka were out in 2014-15, and Russell Westbrook, really after the All-Star break, just carried the team. So Kevin Durant's last game was February 19th. Did a little bit of homework here. Kevin Durant's last game was February 19th of that year, when he was out with the Jones fracture, when he had to undergo that other surgery. From February 20th on, last 27 games of the year, it was just the Russell Westbrook show all the way through. The Thunder had a 110.1 offensive rating with Russell Westbrook on the floor. That's fantastic. That's a really incredible efficiency. And it's amazing they were able to maintain that with Durant not playing in any of those games and Ibaka hurt for many of them. So that's an amazing efficiency. And that's really the argument if you think the Thunder are going to hold up as a top 10 offense. That's the argument. Russell Westbrook is an offense on his own. Now, I think this situation is a little bit different. First of all, a lot of those lineups, they came in sparse situations. You know, especially the ones from last year. I'm not talking about 2014-15 anymore. I'm talking about this past season now. It's just over. A lot of those lineups from this past season, they came in sparse situations. They came against reserves. Maybe it was Russell Westbrook because of Kevin Durant and Ibaka are off the floor. It's a time where there are a lot of reserves on the floor. And you got Russell Westbrook going up against a lot of second units. That brings those numbers up a little bit. You also don't have teams game planning for that. And that's really the big thing. Now, teams were game planning for Russell Westbrook and Russell Westbrook alone in 2015. So things were a little bit different. And the offense was very good. The defense in that time was not good. But it's different personnel. Different defensive personnel, I should say. So let's not even... That's a different conversation. It's an irrelevant point. But the offense was really good with guys game planning for Russell Westbrook. I think, the reason why I think they're going to be in the bottom 15 in the league, now I don't think they're going to be like 25th in offense, but I think they'll be something like 17th, 18th. And I think they'll be top 10 in defense. And the reason why I think they're going to drop that low is because there just aren't the shooters around Russell Westbrook that would be optimal in order to play Russell Westbrook at his absolute best. You need shooting in an offense for sure. You obviously need shooting in an offense to be good, but it's not just because three is more than two. It's also because you need the spacing. And players like Russell Westbrook and Victor Oladipo need that spacing. And I think eventually, I mean, off the bat, this is going to happen. But I see a scenario in which it becomes even more extreme throughout the year, guys collapsing in on Westbrook and Oladipo when they hit the paint. And I think it's just going to become progressively more and more aggressive because the Thunder don't have three-point shooters. And I think Morrow, there's a scenario in which Morrow is in and out of the rotation this year. There's a scenario in which Abrines, because he's a rookie, because he's somewhat of an unknown, he's in and out of the rotation this year. Because 22-year-old rookies tend to be inconsistent. That's just the way it often works. If he's not that way, then that's great. I mean, that's an unexpected positive. But aside from those guys, Ilyasova is your only real shooter. The Thunder don't have an above-average three-point shooter who's also a plus defender. And so they're going to have to choose, do they want defense or do they want offense for a lot of their lineups and for a lot of their situations with certain guys. Robertson's out there. They're choosing defense, you know. Oladipo is the closest thing they have to a two-way guy in terms of shooting and playing defense. Oladipo is the closest thing they have to that, but he's an inconsistent three-point shooter. So I think that's what the struggle is going to be for this offense. When Russell Westbrook hits the paint, defenders are going to come at him from every angle. Every single angle, and that's the strength of Russell Westbrook's game, getting into the paint. All of his best things. Look, statistically, he's not the greatest finisher in the league, but he's as good at getting to the rim as any other point guard out there. His strength, his best attributes come when he gets into the paint. Everything comes from there. And if guys are either making him uncomfortable once he gets there, keeping him out of it just a little bit more than he would otherwise, or they're getting an extra hand in his face during shots, all of a sudden you got three guys instead of two guys or four guys instead of three guys on him. And he's uncomfortably finishing or uncomfortably kicking. I don't think it's going to work. Now, I think they could dominate maybe some bad or undisciplined defenses. I could see that happening. And when Russell Westbrook has big games, I could see the offense having big games too. But I think really good, really disciplined defenses are going to bog that offensive rating number down. But, you know, Mikey makes a really good point. I think the numbers he lays out they make a lot of sense, and he makes a smart argument there. And I respect that point. I think he made the best point for why the Thunder could have a good offense this year. It's basically Russell Westbrook is this good, and here are the numbers to show why. And I think that's a good point. And so maybe I'd be a little bit less surprised after being presented with that argument. But I think just because of the lack of shooting that we're going to see on this team, the number of threes that they're going to take and the percentage at which they're going to shoot those threes, if they finished inside the top 10, that would say remarkable things about Russell Westbrook. And a lot of things say remarkable things about Russell Westbrook, but that would maybe be because number of threes and percentage of threes tend to correlate with high-ranked offense. If you're taking a lot of threes, you're making a lot of threes, you're going to have a high-ranked offense. You look at offensive rating from the last few years and you see the highest-ranked teams, they're pretty much all average to above-average three-point shooters. And, last year, Thunder were middle of the pack three-point shooter. They made it second. So maybe that can happen again because the Thunder were somewhat anomalous in that. Anomalous is a bad word because it wasn't a fluke where they were. But the Thunder bucked the trend last year. They bucked the trend. And it's because they had two of the greatest players in the world. Now with one, maybe they won't buck it to as much of an extreme, but maybe they could do it. And that's really the argument because Russell Westbrook is that good. So I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but it's possible. Next question from Austin Sternlicht. Does Russ continue to get introduced first in the lineup intros? How would you announce the starters? All right, Russ got to go last. That's it. If only because you got to save up that momentum and you got to save it. Like the crowd's going to go nuts on opening night when his name is called. That place is going to be so loud. Like I'm bringing earplugs to the first game. I'm not actually bringing earplugs. That would be too lame. But I could bring earplugs, and honestly, you could justify that. It's going to be so loud. I'm saying Adams first because you want the returning guy, the up-and-coming 23-year-old Fans love him. He's a great personality. Call him first. Oladipo second, because he's kind of the biggest name coming in. Robertson for familiarity. Ilyasova. And then you end it with Russ. That's my order. That's what I'm going with. Russ has got to go last because you got to end it on that high note. Crowd's going to, that's going to be fun on opening night when his name gets called. Whew. It's going to be loud. It's going to be so loud. Next question from Aaron Albertson. What's better, a New York hot dog or Oklahoma barbecue? Shifting from basketball, quick second. All right. Here's my thing with Oklahoma barbecue. Maybe I'll get, I don't know if I'm going to get hate mail for this, but let's, Oklahoma barbecue is not the best barbecue. That's the thing. If we're talking New York hot dog, I assume we're talking, and for those who don't know, the reason I'm getting this question, I'm sure, is because I'm from New York and I live in Oklahoma. But New York hot dog, if we're talking like Papaya King, Grace Papaya, those are the best hot dogs. Oklahoma barbecue is good. It's not the best barbecue. Like, aren't people having Texas barbecue or Memphis barbecue or Kansas City barbecue over Oklahoma barbecue? I went to school in Missouri. I went to University of Missouri. I used to make up excuses, and this shows why the freshman 15 came so easily to me. But we used to make up excuses to drive an hour and a half to Kansas City so we could go to Arthur Bryant's or go to Gates or whatever it was. Like, Arthur Bryant's barbecue in Kansas City, that place is crazy. That place is crazy. You get the burnt ends at some of those Kansas City barbecue places, Gates or Bryant's or whatever it is. Nuts. So good. Oh my gosh, it's so good. I got a thing of Arthur Bryant's barbecue sauce in my house. So I'm saying the New York hot dog. And I'm actually a barbecue fan over a hot dog fan. I love barbecue. Barbecue is so good. I love barbecue. I love barbecue. I love Southern food. I love comfort food. But Oklahoma barbecue is lower in my mind, certainly than Kansas City and probably Memphis and Texas. So I'm going to have to go New York hot dog. Sorry, guys. Next one from the doctor, Dr. Stephen Crane. OKC is never going to win a shootout versus the Warriors. Do you think Sam Presti is trying to build a roster which exploits their lack of size? It does seem that way. Now, I don't know if that was the absolute decision in going for this, because I don't think the Thunder are the type of team that are going to beat the Warriors. Teams that are going to beat the Warriors, if anyone beats the Warriors, are a little higher up in the power rankings. But yeah, I mean, look, this is the strategy people said the Spurs were trying last year, right? When they were going with that big man rotation, they signed Aldridge, and they had Duncan, and that was what the Spurs were trying to do. They were going big. Now, unfortunately, they didn't have the opportunity to play them because, well, the Thunder just waxed them after game one in that playoff series. The Thunder were better than the Spurs in the playoffs, and it just wasn't even close, at least in those final five games. But man, I mean, it's hard to say if he's going up against the Warriors specifically, or if this is just the scenario that he thought was best. The Thunder were always big. I mean, this is a big roster that was concentrated on offensive rebounding. I mean, Kanter led the league in offensive rebound percentage last year. Adams is a good rebounder and offensive rebounder. You know, Collison was always there. McGarry was always there. You know, this is a roster that's had bigs. You know, Sabonis is going to be, he's going to be a feisty rebounder. He's going to rebound a lot right out of the gate, I think. And I think he'll play. I think he'll get playing time. So rebounding, yeah, I mean, look, it's interesting because the whole league in general is going in a trend. And it's not just because teams are going small for the most part. But the league in general is going against offensive rebounding in a lot of ways. It's not just because teams are going small. It's also because teams are prioritizing transition defense more than they ever have before. And that's a trend that really started, you know, 10 years ago to become extreme, and now it's in the most extreme spot where teams just aren't chasing offensive rebounds. Because if you're going an offensive rebound, you're going the opposite direction of what takes you back on defense. You know that thing the coaches tell you when you're young, follow your shot? That's kind of a thing that's been dropped now. You don't always want to blindly follow your shot. Yeah, maybe sometimes it's a good decision. But you don't want to follow your shot every single time. You want to get back on defense most of the time. Not something that we see a lot of teams do. You know, those Doc Rivers teams started doing it with the Celtics early, and a lot of other teams caught on. Spurs, Hawks really are very extreme about not going for offensive rebounds under Budenholzer. He's a Spurs guy. You know, we see that a lot. That could be a thing too. I don't know if it's the Warriors specifically as much as it's the whole league. You know, you got to find a market inefficiency, and maybe that's one of them. Maybe that's something that starts to come back because maybe a team or two or three becomes such an extremely good offensive rebounding team that it pushes them over. I think the Thunder could struggle as a transition defense. I think they're going to be a really good half-court defense. I think they could struggle as a transition defense for a multitude of reasons, and I think one of them could be because I think they could have a strategy that employs chasing a bunch of offensive rebounds. And that could hurt them as a transition defense. So I don't know if they're going big. You know, they traded for Joffrey LaVerne last week. They got seven bigs. Probably going to move one of them. You have to imagine. I mean, they've got 16 guys who are going to be on the roster. You can only have 15. So they're going to make some move which sheds a guy from the roster. I imagine it's going to be one of the seven bigs. That's not me reporting anything. That's just me trying to apply some logic to the roster and figure out what works. They're short with wings. They've got three point guards. They're not going to go down to two. So you got to imagine it's going to be one of the bigs. Now, I don't know if that means, and I got questions about which big do you think they're going to get rid of. You know, the thing is with trying to figure out which guy's going to go is you have to know the exact market and what offers are on the table. Like, that's the thing. GMs, unless there's like a character issue or a problem in the locker room or one guy is really unhappy and demands a trade or something like that, GMs don't really operate with, player X is on the block, let's get rid of him. GMs, I mean, that's a way to start a conversation. But GMs don't really operate, well, we've got 16 guys and then they decide, let's get rid of this guy and then get rid of him. They weigh the different options on the table if they're in a scenario like this. They say, okay, let's see what we can get for McGarry. Let's see what we can get for Kanter. Let's see what we can get for, you know, fill in the blank. I can't imagine that anybody is completely off limits. I'm sure they're, you know, it's not like they're dangling Steven Adams. It's not like they're dangling anybody to anyone's knowledge. But they have to make some move. But it's just, they're going to make whatever is the best offer. I mean, that it sounds, I know it's an annoying answer, but that's what they're going to do. And I think the reason that they have these bigs and that they're going with an offensive rebound heavy roster, I don't think it's because of the Warriors. I think the Warriors are a symptom of the league, and them doing this is also a symptom of the league. So it looks like it could be kind of because of the Warriors. I think it's more just because of the way the NBA is today in general, and that's a market inefficiency they think they can exploit, and that's really it. Next, from Shannon Ward. Who are your favorite non-Thunder players at each position? I thought this was a fun one. I'm going to go a little more niche. I'm just going to restrict this. And by favorite, I assume Shannon means just favorite to watch. I'm not doing favorite to talk to or personality or whatever it is. I'm just going by my favorite players to watch in case you're figuring out your season heading into it and you want some fun players to look out for. So I'm going to restrict it to players who've never been All-Stars because, like, everyone loves to watch Stephen Curry, right? Like, everyone loves to watch Russell Westbrook, though he's on the Thunder, so he's disqualified. But so guys who have never been All-Stars, that's what I'm saying. Point guard, Eric Bledsoe. If he's healthy, he is so fun. He's like a John Wall type. He's built like a tight end, and he's like a Westbrook type. He's built like a tight end, long arms. He's intense on defense. He's fast, and he's a little reckless defensively when he gambles and that kind of stuff. But it's if you don't have a rooting interest, it's just fun to watch. And he flies to the rim. And he's explosive. And, man, when he's healthy, he's a blast. He's a blast. Honorable mention, Kemba Walker. Feel like I don't care what the numbers say. I am convinced that Kemba Walker is shooting 100% on potential game-winning shots. And you can never show me enough missed Kemba Walker shots to prove otherwise. Sorry, I'm going to irrationally believe that forever. Shooting guard Zach LaVine, just insanely fun dunker. He is, you know, we can talk about him as a basketball player. I'm a Zach LaVine fan. I think he's going to be a good player. I'm actually surprised he's as polarizing as he is. I know the Wolves liked him as a point guard and playing a point guard and at shooting guard. And I think there are a lot of people who don't love his decision making, but he's so young. I mean, he's an NBA kid for the most part. Like he left after his freshman year at UCLA. He's third year in the league. Like, I feel like worst case scenario, he's going to be like a better dunking Jamal Crawford. Like he's going to have a good career in my mind. And, he's a great athlete and he's fluid and he's starting to shoot well now. And I'm excited about where his career is going to go. And, I really enjoy watching him. Also, Will Barton's kind of a shooting guard or small forward, whatever, but Will Barton's fun, man. Those are two guys who were in the dunk contest last year. Will Barton, sixth man for Denver. Also, just an awesome dunker. Tremendous athlete. Had a great year last year. Really should have gotten more talk for sixth man. He had a great year last year and was really fun to watch. The whole Nuggets team was really fun. Got another Nuggets guy in this list, too. Also, if you like watching just really intense defense, Celtics backcourt is really fun when they've got Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart in at the same time. I love watching both of those guys. Although Smart's tough to watch on offense in my mind, but I love Avery Bradley. I love watching Avery Bradley. I think he's just a blast, and he's become a competent shooter now, and he's just really good. What an amazing deal they have for him at $8 million a year. That's tremendous contract. Small forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, Greek freak. He's athletic. I mean, he's part of the reason that he's so much fun is because I didn't know what position to put him at for this. So I have him at small forward, but like he could start at point guard this year. I mean, maybe he will start at point guard this year. He's 6'11", and he's so fluid. I mean, he's got some Durantiness in him. He's so fun to watch. Tremendous passer. Sees the floor amazingly well. He just can't shoot yet. I mean, that's the issue. He just can't shoot yet. I don't even know if he will. I don't think he needs to learn how to shoot to become a great player, honestly. I really do think he's that good and his potential is that good. He needs to learn how to shoot to reach his absolute ceiling. But maybe he needs to learn how to shoot to eventually avoid backlash, which could come when he's like 25 years old and still hasn't learned how to shoot. And I hate that's how the narrative turns. Oh, he can't shoot. He's not working at it or whatever it is. I hate it when that stuff happens. It really annoys me. Just appreciate what you got in a player. I mean, you got a player who's unique like that and can do those sorts of things. Just appreciate that. But he is fun. He is fun. Honorable mention, Gordon Hayward. If only because his hair never moves. His hair never moves, and it's amazing. He has the most perfectly coiffed hair in the NBA. It is phenomenal. I like Gordon Hayward. I like that Jazz team. That Jazz team's going to be good. Power forward is Kristaps. He could be an all-star this year. I mean, a bunch of these guys could be first-time all-stars this year. Like, Giannis could. Hayward could. Kristaps could. It's possible. He's just, you know, Everyone knows why anyone would love watching Kristaps. He's just fun when he's gone. He's athletic, and he's just got this crazy motor, and it's really fun. Speaking of motor, Kenneth Faried. Kenneth Faried is my honorable mention for power forward. Kenneth Faried, he kind of proves to me that motor, so much of it has to do with how long your hair is. If Kenneth Faried didn't have long hair, I don't think we'd be talking about his motor that often. But he is super fun to watch, and I think he's a likable personality, and I appreciate watching him play. Centers, I love watching DeAndre Jordan. Grew up a Clippers fan, so, you know, take that for what it is. But DeAndre Jordan is, I don't think he's the best dunker of all time. I think that belongs to Vince Carter. But he's kind of my favorite dunker of all time, because I love alley-oops. So I love watching his alley-oops, and he's just as good of a 7-foot athlete as there is. A lot of centers are really fun to watch. That's what's funny. We talk about how there aren't good centers out there anymore. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but A lot of centers are fun to watch. Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, I think he could even be better than Jordan this year, but Karl Anthony Towns is fun. Rudy Gobert is fun. Robin Lopez is fun to watch. Nikola Jokic, Nikola Vucevic, like, those guys are all really fun to watch. I really like all those guys just from a fun-to-watch perspective. There are other funs out there, too. No one's right, no one's wrong about this one, so that's what's fun. Anyone you think I could have included, hit me up on Twitter. Anyone you love, anyone that you think is really fun to watch or that you really like, or you didn't like my thought process or whatever, hit me up on Twitter, at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Let me know who you love and who to watch. Before we head out, I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday, really just for the next week or two. After that, I'm going back to the Monday through Friday model, and I'll be on every weekday after that. So if you're subscribed to the show, you're going to be able to get all of those. And remember, you can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, like I said before. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road, that's my blog there, under the sports tab on the site, to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you Thursday for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
JCPenney, time to refresh your closet. This Thursday through Monday, get Levi's lowest prices of the season on 514 straight fit jeans for guys, $36.99. And select Arizona booties for her for $35.99. Plus, save an additional 50% off clearance prices already reduced by 60 to 80%. And get an extra $10 off with your coupon. Hurry in now. JCPenney. Coupon valid 10-5 to 10-9. Levi's and other brands excluded from coupon. Clearance selection vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. See store or jcp.com for details. Season refers to 9/27 to 10/18.